Hello. One time Frank Patton was up shouting, "You have no brother Frank." I mean, God only took him out of a horrible car accident. They said he'd be a quadriplegic. He was a drunkard and almost died. Was in a coma for 3 weeks. God put him in the Sugar Creek Baptist Church. 1995, on a Thursday night, God saved Frank Patton. Had learned how to walk, had learned how to talk, had learned how to read, had learned how to write again. The man, Brother Frank's up shouting, "You know Brother Frank." He's just walking the aisles going, "Glory, glory, glory, glory." And he couldn't go, "Woo!" So he'd go, "Woo, woo, woo." It's like a choo-choo train. I heard a man say, "He's just shouting in the flesh." I said out loud, "If he gets out of his body and shouts, I'm leaving." Be good for some people just to die to the flesh. And I don't mean shame yourself, I mean just embarrass yourself. You say, why do you quote some of those old men of God? Because they mean so much to me. They made me what I am today. Don't blame them. Thank them. They made what I am today. Well, Sammy used to say, before you die, you ought to just go ahead and get in the glory one time. Just once. I'm riding down to work. You listen to the radio, pull up the stoplight. About a mile from where I live now, they're at the sheet store. Again, I sing that old song on the radio. Today I went back to the place where I used to go. I remember having to pull in the old sheets, pull around the back side of the building so nobody could see. Got out of the car and just knelt down right there on the side of the sheets building, just weeping, thanking God for delivering me from that life. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Glory be to God. Don't live that life I used to live because of Calvary. Now listen. Brother Herbert used to make me go preach outside. Brother Sammy used to make me go preach outside. Go out there in the snow and preach. Go out there in the hills and preach. They'd be preaching inside, be preaching on the steps of the church. One time it's freezing cold, I tried to go back in, but the Herbert said, "Go back out there and preach, son." And I remember thinking, "It's warm in here, that's why you're in here, big boy." I love those men of God, thank God for them. They shaped me, formed me. They had consecrated lives. Their all was Christ. 24/7, didn't matter where they were, what they were doing, everything was about Jesus Christ. And they did normal things like normal people. But at a moment's notice, they were ready to give that testimony of what was inside of them, which is the person of Jesus Christ. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. To everyone that believed. Are you ashamed of him? He said, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed." To those of us that believe, he is precious. If you believe, he'll be precious to you. It'll be an inward love that you have that you can't explain. As you find out who he is, and then as you grow in grace, you find out what he did. And as we preached last night, you'll dig into the scriptures and you'll really find out what he did for you. And how could you help but love him? And thank him. As he bore your iniquities and he bore them to the cross of Calvary, he took those ordinances and nailed them to the cross. And it's not cliche to say, had it just been you, he would have done that just for you. Amen. But he didn't do it just for you, he did it for the sins of the whole world. That's why it's a whosoever will gospel. We preach whosoever will. I'm not settled been preaching a lot these last months, been preaching a lot this week. I said a lot this week. I don't believe in replication. I believe God would have to. Does somebody have an exhortation, testimony that's edifying? Something to help the church? If you do, go ahead and say on. Peter.
I was just rejoicing in the trip down here today and also to school today, because just we started singing hymns and they just mean something different now. Before, the hymns were nice, they sounded neat, they had a nice flow to them now. But the words mean something in those hymns to me now when I sing them. They're just different.
I mean, that's exactly right.
Going to school, I was singing some of the hymns, and they're just great. They're precious.
They are precious.
I just love to sing them. I love to hear them.
I lived a life where church was one thing, but then there's real life when you leave church. It's not, it's probably an attitude I had. I would go to school and kind of realize that this is the real world out here. And I believed in the ways of church. I believed in Christianity, but this was the real world. And I was at work today, and I was at my desk, and I'm going about my daily tasks. And there was something more to my life than just this being the real world. I kind of started to think about it, that this was the fake world, that this was out here, but here was life. The church was life for the first time. And I started thinking about that. It was so different to me.
That's right.
Because I couldn't conjure that up before. I couldn't make that up. I couldn't think that this was life. But it's life to me now. God did
That's
that
right.
for me.
That's right.
Yeah, I was spiritual. I can conjure it up once. I couldn't sustain it.
Yeah.
I thought I could conjure it up. Go to the house of God and think it's pretty spiritual there in the house of God. It's pretty spiritual. Sit there, all my piety and all my self-righteousness. I think I was pretty spiritual. Till the entrance of God, the Word gave me light.
Amen.
All the same stars.
Tell you how spiritual you are when you wake up in the morning with a headache and a hangnail. If you're married, your spouse is in a bad mood. If you have children, they're out of control, and everything's going wrong. And the furnace goes out, the car won't start. You'll find out if you're spiritual.
Amen.
Anybody spiritual here? Just checking. It's okay. You've got a long way to go to catch up with Peter and Gary, sir.
So.
It's not fair, yeah. Not fair.
And as I reflect back on the realities of the work of Christ in my life, even this week, when I came to Christ October 1994, that spring in April, I got a job, local manufacturing facility in Shippensburg, the Weissman Company. Worked there 15 and a half years. You know, it was interesting. When I went into that workplace, I had no idea what I was going into. I don't want to exaggerate, I don't want to use hyperbole with anybody that knew actually what I went through those first few months when I went into that place. A naive, unsuspecting young believer, homeschooled. Yes, I had worked out in the world and earning the retail environment. I had never worked in that type of a manufacturing environment. I tell you what, I walked into a hellhole. I walked into a place where they hated everything to do with truth and righteousness, let alone Jesus Christ. They hated righteousness for righteousness' sake. You know what I found out in that place? I found out, first of all, what it was. Okay. That I was weak and frail. But I also found out what a great Savior I had. And it sustained me in the face of that. Talk about the real world, quote unquote. I found out
That's
I had
right.
something that could stand the test of time.
That's right.
I found out I could have something that could stand with anyone and when everyone else is against me. You know, when I think back on that period, several months when I first went into that time, that changed. The Lord was gracious. When the Lord was done teaching me what he needed to teach me through that time, he took every one of those men out of my way. And later I was a supervisor of that section for that matter. But for that time, he had a purpose, and that's fiery trials, to prove, to test, and to reveal. Not myself, in the sense, except in the sense that I was weak, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I thank the Lord.
I can attest to what Brother Ricky's saying.
manufacturing for 25 years. I retired this past June. I think it was a little long getting out of high school. But that's all right. I made it. And when I walked into a, I worked at, back in the day at Grove Worldwide, Grove Manufacturing, as Manitowoc Creams and J.D. Grove. I spent most of my life there, a little laid off. And it was a shock to my system when I walked into that place. I was used to growing up, I was used to church, in an environment that had no language, that had no pictures, that had wholesome, at least a wholesome to some degree, but it was nothing wholesome. To this day, there's nothing wholesome there. And I was a failure in the beginning. I left to test the work of Christ in my, and the work of the Spirit of God in my life. I finished, I worked most of the years in machining, but in the end, the last 4 years, I worked in assembly. And the people knew where I stood. Didn't stop some of their language, some of them it did. Stopped some of their actions, some of them it didn't. But they knew. But they would try to. One girl in particular, she tried to trap me sometimes. She said, "Did I hear you say that?" Someone else would say something, and she'd try to attribute it to me. I said, "I don't think you heard me say that." I said, "Oh, you're not going to hear me say that." I can honestly say, in the 4 years I worked with those people, they not heard one word that was slang or off color. It wasn't pure. And that's only because of the Spirit of God working in my life. When I first started, I couldn't say that. When I ended, I could. May all of this world will try to trap you and twist things and try to pull you their direction to go along with what they want. Something you need to learn in your own personal life. And this world is ugly, evil, and thank the Lord. The gentleman said about songs, when I first started in the church, or in the Church of God, the Lord began to work in my life. One of the things was, I began to read, and we began to sing them old holy songs out of the songbook, and I thought, my life don't match up with some of these words, some of these words. My wife said, "You're ruining the song." I'd start to cry. To talk about the Spirit of God, talk about Christ, work of the Spirit, and I didn't have any of that. He was a Christian. He wasn't there. But then it began to mold in the form. And that Bible, my wife could attest, she's having some health issues right now. It became so sweet. I couldn't get enough. It was like, it was the best sugar I ever had in my life. It was sweet. I couldn't get enough.
Amen.
And, but I let religion kind of knock me down a little. I left the Church of God and went to a Baptist church and got kicked out. I went to another Baptist church and got kicked out. They think so, but I just not. Amen. I'm not in a church right now as far as a member. I'm discouraged. Church. And a holy organism that he created is evil. In some degree, it's evil. And even I got overcome. Things blown by. Praise God for it. I do thank the Lord for his church, and for that body of believers that do stand for what's right. But you will find within that structure, you, Brother Tim, I think you now, you stand on that word of God too really deep, you'll get flagged. You'll get pushed back.
That's right.
You'll get pushed back from the church. That shouldn't be. I may not ever understand sometimes what the Word of God, the man of God is, but I just let it go. I let God show me whether it be true, whether it be error. I can't say I've ever personally went and said something to a preacher that you're preaching on. I just let it go. Let God show me. Stand on what's right. And even then, if you stand on what's right, sometimes those who are preachers don't like that. And you'll find it too soon.
Church is corrupted because it's full of corrupted people.
Amen.
I mean, look how normal things were here until McVeigh showed up. I mean, Brother Black had a good thing going. And we showed up, messed everything up. David Parks, dear friend, a missionary friend of ours many years ago, he said, most churches would be a good church until you show up. We'd be all offended by that. One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to present a glorious church.
Amen.
Without spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
The saints of God. Safest place you can be is the church. For the Wayne, there are a few.
Yes, sir.
There are a few.
Amen.
Anybody else? Word of exhortation. Yes, sir.
I don't mean to embarrass him, but I thank God that Zane actually wanted to come back tonight.
Embarrassing.
This is not something Zane normally does. We want to go do this, and he took off school to do this, which is also something Zane would do, because when you're fresh in school, first time you go to college, you don't do that. You're just terrified of your teachers and everything. But thank God, because it seems like he's actually speaking to Zane for once. Well, he always speaks to Zane. I should correct that. He always speaks to Zane. Yeah. It seems like Zane's listening for once.
Amen. We're thick-headed.
Amen.
Aren't you, boy? Got a big old Montgomery head on you. Amen. Thank the Lord for Zane. You embarrassed?
Amen.
Those of you who don't know, Sister Chelsea's struggled with childbearing, had several miscarriages, and her numbers are elevated. Those of you who don't know what that means, ask your parents, but she needs prayer. Her pastor told her, he's praying, what he said, destroy your body with children, I think he said.
And he's actually praying to God that he'll break my body in
childbearing. Yeah, break her body in childbearing. Yeah. And I cringed, and I've listened to John Asmuth for 12, 13 years, and I even cringed on that one a little bit, but that's okay. But you know, that's why God gives you a church. Bear one another's burdens. Lift each other up in prayer. You don't have to turn to the bottle. You don't have to turn to pills.
Yes, amen.
You don't have to turn to needles. You can turn to Jesus Christ. You don't need the booze. Amen, sister. Appreciate you saying that. Well, I appreciate you saying that. Don't need the pills. Lay your head on your pillow at night. Have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We're exhorting that this week. If you explain it, it doesn't pass all understanding. Amen. If you can't explain it, it passes all understanding. Pastor, I see you straining.
Do you have a message tonight?
I don't think so, no, do you? Good, I thought so. Part 2.